Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Well, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you did, because we got a new friend with us right now, David Deming. Dr. David Deming is our guest. He's a professor of arts and sciences at the University of Oklahoma in Norman. And that's a college that's doing pretty good in the football world these days. And he also is an adjunct scholar for the National Center for Policy Analysis. And he's here to talk to us about the idea of the global climate. I'm not going to say global warming or climate change or whatever, but global climate. That's the reason we're having him here today, so we can talk about his thoughts on these things. And as I say, he's our new friend, David Deming. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jim.
It's good to have you here.
It's good to be here. I'm just sitting here this morning, and I'm wondering how global warming or climate change can be, as Al Gore says, a planetary emergency. When I'm looking at the Denver Post, and it says yesterday they set a new record low temperature of minus 15 degrees Fahrenheit, breaking the old record set in 1901.
Wow.
So I'm a little bit, you know, it kind of defies common sense.
Right. And, you know, and one of the things, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you look at actually the data for the whole planet, there's actually no evidence whatsoever to support global warming.
Well, one of the things that I've been, where I disagree with you, Dr. Deming, is that I know that 10,000 years ago, Kentucky and Ohio and Indiana were under 5,000 feet of ice. And there were two kinds of elephants roaming there. And so I know that the Earth is warming, because that ice is not there anymore. So surely you have to agree with me, Dr. Deming. I'm having a little fun here. You have to agree with me that the Earth is warming and has been for some time.
You're absolutely right. What you're talking about, of course, is the end of the last ice age. And at the end of the last ice age, the temperature in Greenland rose 50 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the real global warming, and that's why I have these disagreements with the meteorologists, because they're telling us they can predict, you know, what the temperature is going to be in 100 years based on carbon dioxide. And I'm telling them, well, look, you don't even understand why ice ages come and go. And so don't tell me you understand the planet's climate, because they don't.
Well, one of the things that's been my position all along, my default position on this, David, has been that I'm not smart enough to know whether human beings and our carbon emissions, I'm not smart enough to know what kind of damage it's doing to the economy. I am smart enough to see, though, that I could see where we are doing potentially some damage to the climate, to the environment. I don't know how much climate change we're doing, but I can see that. And so I can see where maybe it'd be a good thing if we didn't emit as much carbon emissions as we do now. But what I'm against is throwing the baby out with the bathwater, which is, by that I mean, hurting the global economy by having to adhere to some arbitrary standards before we actually have new technology to replace the energy that the carbon energy gives us right now. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Jim. And the Washington Post, which is not known to be a right-wing source, about a year ago ran an amazing story about what these mandatory carbon reductions are doing in Europe. Basically said they're ruining their economy.
Yeah.
That it's proven to be a bureaucratic nightmare. Businesses are shutting down. People are being laid off. They're losing their jobs. And businesses are losing to their competitors in China who do not have to do this.
And the standards that they're reacting to that's giving you the information you got that you just gave us, David, is the 1998 Kyoto Accords, which those accords, folks, wanted the United States and others to take our carbon emissions back to 1990 levels, pre-1990 levels, which in 1990, folks, the U.S. economy was creating $6 trillion in GDP. Today, we're more than double that, and yet they want us to expend half carbon at that level. Dr. Deming, that's not going to work. I want you to comment on that. We got to take a quick break. This is going to work. We got to take a break here. So we're going to be right back, folks, with Dr. David Deming. And on the other side of the messages, we're going to get him to respond to my question. And then I want to ask him about the possibility of global freezing. 20 till. Stay with us. And I found out a little too late. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Those are my two main websites. The first one is the mothership. The second one is our knowledge base. And, of course, on our blog, jimsblog.biz, which I make all the posts to myself. I write them myself and put them up myself. So I hope you'll check those out. And if you just get to smallbusinessadvocate.com, that's really the only one you have to remember. And notice my blog will be there. You can link to it from there. And also our knowledge base, Ask Jim, is there as well. So check all that out and use it to your advantage. We built it for you. No barrier to entry. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. We'll send that to you on Sunday afternoon for free, get you ready for the week ahead. Dr. David Deming is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a professor at the University of Oklahoma. He's an adjunct scholar at the National Center for Policy Analysis, ncpa.org. And Dr. Deming, recently you wrote a piece that was published in the Washington Times on what you called global warming freeze. I want you to tell us a little bit about what you said in that piece.
Well, what I said in the piece, actually, my title, as you know, when you publish an editorial,
you never know what the title is going to be, right?
That's right. My title was Global Warming is Over, which I thought was a better title, but what I said there basically is there is no evidence, because we've been through 2 years now of cooling. The temperature globally, as measured by satellite, which is the only way to measure the whole planet simultaneously,
right,
is now the same that it was in 1980. Isn't that not amazing, Jim, that we have all of this hysteria and we haven't had any warming at all in 28 years?
You said that the cooling in the last 2 years has wiped out the last 30 years of warming.
That's essentially right. We've been subjected to probably thousands of stories in the media about how sea ice is melting in the Arctic. Globally, though, sea ice is now exactly the same level it was in 1980. Mm-hmm. It's a little below average in the Arctic, but it's a little above average in the Antarctic.
Do you not agree, though? Never mind the warming part. Do you not agree, though? Isn't it reasonable to agree with people who say that we shouldn't be pumping out all these carbon emissions into the? I mean, especially like China and India. I mean, China has about 20% of the GDP of the United States, and yet their carbon footprint is roughly the same as ours. As their economy grows, this can't be good for our environment. For our global.
Well, I don't agree with that, and
okay.
I continue to be baffled as to why anybody would regard carbon dioxide as a pollutant. It's a natural gas. It's part of the photosynthetic cycle.
Oh, yeah.
It's a plant fertilizer. It's a trace gas in the atmosphere. In fact, a little-known secret, one of the dirtiest secrets these people have, the climate modelers, is that this so-called catastrophic global warming they're predicting in 100 years is not due to carbon dioxide. It's due to a speculative feedback mechanism that probably does not exist.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things you can get ready for, the Obama administration, if you've been following it, he's been lining up the true believers, the zealots about, I mean, Carol Browner, who's going to be his energy czar, when she was the secretary of EPA in the Clinton administration, she tried to make carbon a dangerous gas.
Yeah,
she tried to identify carbon as carbon dioxide as a dangerous gas, and she wanted to be able to regulate that. I mean, that's who's going to be in charge of his environmental policies.
And you know, Jim, you can't argue with these people because they're irrational fanatics. I'm looking at one of the most astonishing stories that came on the wires last night from the Associated Press, and they have some of the worst coverage on the global warming issue. These are people, you know, this is, again, why the mainstream media are losing viewers and people are listening to talk radio, because you cannot get reliable information from the mainstream media. And the Associated Press is actually, in my opinion, is absolutely the worst. And the guy says here, after we've had all of this dramatic cooling, he says global warming is accelerating. He's out of his mind. And then he says, here's his favorite line. I love it. He acknowledges that we've had some cooling lately. And then he says, the cooling actually illustrates how fast the world is warming. Now, if there's anybody out there who can explain that to me, I'm willing to listen.
Say that again. I want the audience to hear that again.
He says, the cooling trend actually illustrates how fast the world is warming. Now, you know, one of the things
that's
you teach
funny.
When you're learning how to write is the or for that matter argue or speak, the number one thing you don't want to do is write or say something that's self-contradictory.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things, Dr. Deming, that I've been asking people about, and I haven't ever heard anybody else ask this question, what makes us so presumptuous, so arrogant, as to think we know, in our human infinite wisdom, our apparent infinite wisdom, we know how warm, you know, about how to regulate the heat, the warmth and the cooling of this planet, that we know so much about, that we have that much knowledge and that much wisdom, that we actually know how far to go and when to stop? Because what if we go so far, Dr. Deming, that in this century we trigger global freezing? I'd rather be warm than cold. What about you?
Well, I would too, and that's the real danger, is that we're going to go back into another ice age, and that's what you learn from studying the science of geology.
Have you ever heard anybody, though, ask that question? I mean, what if we triggered global freezing?
No, I haven't. And you know, when I testified before the U.S. Senate a couple years ago, I told them, and they were astonished when I said this, I said, if anything, we ought to be increasing our production of carbon dioxide to avoid going into the next ice age.
I bet that did astonish him. Hold on to that thought. I'm going to let you explain yourself on that right after these messages. It's 10 till. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. David Deming is our guest.
Your heart may be broken tonight.
Are you reeling in the east? Snowing away the clouds.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with me. Dr. David Deming is our guest. He's adjunct scholar with the National Center for Policy Analysis. That's ncpa.org. He's also a professor at the University of Oklahoma in Norman. Dr. Deming, if someone wanted to know your credentials for being able to take the positions that you're taking with regard to global warming, global freezing, climate change, all that sort of thing, how would you answer them?
Well, I would tell them, first of all, I'm a geologist. I have a bachelor's degree in geology. I have a PhD in geophysics. I've been a professor at the University of Oklahoma for the last 17 years, and I do climate science. I have conducted climate research and published the results in peer-reviewed scientific literature. And so I think I know what. And in addition to that, I've done something that most scientists don't do. I've studied extensively the history and philosophy of science.
Right.
So I a little bit more insight into this, I think, than most people do.
Well, I'm glad. Thank you for that information. That's information that I wanted my audience to hear, folks. This isn't this is a scholar. This is a guy who knows what he's talking about. And by the way, your piece in the Washington Times was published on December the 10th, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to go back and find that, "Global Warming Freezes," the title. It's in the commentary section. One of the things that Back to my global freezing thing. I want to touch on that just another minute or so. You know, when the Ice Age ended, people, while the Ice Age was still going on, people in across the planet were freezing to death. Their crops, they weren't able to grow crops because it was so cold. As the Ice Age relented and went away, basically, people were able to start farming. The civilization flourished. The population of the planet grew significantly. It started growing really at that about that time.
Jim,
I mean, it's not a good thing for people to be cold, is it?
No, it isn't. In fact, that's what people have known intuitively for thousands of years. In fact, civilization did more than flourish when the Ice Age. It began when the Ice Age ended.
Right, that's a good point.
That's when people began animal husbandry and agriculture and went from being, you know, foragers and hunters and gatherers.
Right.
At the very beginning of our civilization only can exist in this type of climate.
Right.
And in a climate that's warm, that's stable, that's benign. If we went back to an Ice Age climate, it'd be unbelievable.
Dr. Deming, one of the things that's being talked about now, in addition, as I said, Carol Browner in her last position in government wanted to make carbon dioxide a poisonous gas. And folks, I was reporting on this on my show, you know, 10 years ago when this was going on. And that's one thing, Dr. Deming. The other thing is the cap and trade issue, where they want to cap the carbon emissions and make carbon a commodity so that you can trade in that. And then there's another thing that's going on out there that some people are proposing, and they're calling it a global carbon tax. What do you think about all those things?
I think that they're all going to amount to the same thing for the average person. The average person is going to see their electricity bill triple or quadruple, or go up by some phenomenal amount. It's going to kill our economy. It's going to be a very regressive tax. It's going to fall on the poorest percentage of the population, and it's going to have absolutely no effect whatsoever on the climate.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, you know, one of the most amazing things about this debate to me is even if you grant these people all of their models and everything, and you go into their models and feed into the models what effect these carbon cuts will have, they'll have no effect whatsoever. You know, that's one of the reasons the U.S. Senate originally rejected the Kyoto Treaty,
mm-hmm.
is the models showed that it would give you, even if fully implemented, a reduction in temperature in 100 years of something like a tenth of a degree.
Mm-hmm.
It's astonishing.
But in the meantime, that would be the impact on the climate, but in the meantime, no, they're not talking about the impact, what impact it would have on the economy, which would be disastrous.
Well, you know, they're perpetrating this fraud that will benefit the economy. And the way I answer that, they tell people, are you kidding? If you're going to artificially force people from fuels that are inexpensive, reliable, and abundant to those that are exactly the opposite, scarce, unreliable, and expensive, you've got to be kidding.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
In Texas last year, they had a power emergency because they now have 15% of their electric power comes from the wind, which
uh-huh.
everyone, you know, is very, very up on wind power.
Right.
Well, one day, the wind stopped blowing.
They had a problem. Hey, Dr. Deming, thank you for being here. NCPA.org, right? That's where they can find you there?
That's right.
Thank you for being here. Good job today. I'd like to see you back again another day.
Okay.
Dr. David Deming, ladies and gentlemen, it's... It was a pleasure to have him on the show. We'll get him back another day. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.